Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 reads this way. Matthew 23:37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him, for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And I'd like to use as a topic from the 38th verse, your house is left unto you desolate. Heavenly Father, I come in Jesus' name, and Lord, needing your presence, needing your spirit, needing the goodness of the Lord to help me to share this tonight. Lord, I thank you for the songs of praise and the people who are here. And I just ask that your blessing be upon us all. Lord, we just pray for your presence to just do mighty things. And above all, Lord, let us be a blessing to you tonight. In Jesus' name we seek you. Amen. Amen. When I look at particularly the 24th chapter of Matthew, it's a very well-known. Of course, there's the song, just compare today to Matthew 24, because of its portion that Jesus spoke concerning the end times in response to the question that the disciples asked, which was, when are these things going to be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? And then he talked about some signs that he said, well, don't sorrow yourself, the end's not yet. He began then to talk about the time of the abomination of desolation, the great tribulation that would be to come. But it's the portion that led up to that we looked at tonight. And actually, when I look at that, I really got to go back to the 21st chapter, because it was there when Jesus, coming in for the Passover, came into Jerusalem. And the people began to hail him as the king and give praises to him and shout the hosannas. What we know is Palm Sunday, when Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. From there then, after that, it says he went into the temple. And when he went into the temple, that's where he, you know, turned over the table of the money changers and made the great proclamation that my house is to be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. And while he was there, he also healed the blind and the lame. So what was going on in the temple that particular day was a call to prayer, saying this is supposed to be a house of prayer, not a place of barter and exchange, as well as healing of sickness was taking place in the temple that day. From there, Jesus went out, cursed a fig tree. You know the passage of that, how he cursed a fig tree, and then they would come back and they'd say, well, the fig tree you cursed is cursed. And they also asked him, particularly as to what he was doing there in the temple, doing the healings and casting out the money changers. By what authority do you do these things? His authority was questioned. He really pointed out where his authority came from by saying, where did John's authority come from? Did it come from God or man? Did he need permission of men? They said, we can't tell, because people thought he was from God. Well, he was. That's also who Jesus' authority came from, the authority of the kingdom of God. But it was brought to question. And so from there, we get to this 23rd chapter where Jesus speaks concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, pointing out that, you know, they do a lot of wonderful things. They pray often. They give offerings. They really are observant of the law. They live according to the law. He said. But what Jesus pointed out is their purpose in doing that is because they want to be seen of men. They want man's recognition on that as though they're some great thing. But from there, he gives all these, and you can read it in Matthew 23, all these pronouncements of woe. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. My favorite one is 23:15, because, and I have reasons for that. You can see me later, but it's where he says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. Because he says, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And once they are made, they're twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. And you know, I guess I'll say it this way. Because we live in a day where people want people to be joined up with them. And they do whatever they gotta do to get people to join up with their way of life. And what they end up with is somebody twofold more the child of hell than themselves. So I guess that's why that one resonates with me. But he continues on after all these pronouncements of woe to make this cry by saying, you serpents, you generation of vipers. I think it's verse 33. He says, how will you escape the damnation of hell? I know this isn't the Jesus that the church likes to portray today, but it's Bible. And it was Jesus. It was his proclamation. How are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Good preacher. Jesus was a good preacher. And then, from there, he makes this proclamation saying that you had prophets sent to you. You had wise men sent to you. And what did you do to them? You crucified them. You stoned them. You scourged them. You persecuted them. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, he says. You who have persecuted, you stoned the prophets. He talked about how God had sent his prophets to Jerusalem, but all they did was persecute them, stone them, kill them, crucify them. And here he was in the temple. And he says first, before I get to that, he says, how I would have loved to gather you as children, as a hen will gather her chickens unto herself. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to gather you as my people. I'd send you my word. That's what I desired. But all you did was persecute those who came. And then he makes that proclamation. Behold, your house shall be desolate. Your house is going to be desolate. Well, what does that mean? Well, first let me just start by a house. A couple things what I think of when I think of a house. Number one, after service, I'm going home. And I'm going into my house. It's a building. It's a building where am I now? I'm in the house of God. It's a term we use to describe, you know, where we gather together. That which is sanctified for the purposes of worshiping Jesus and giving glory to God. So the temple is a house. Just like he said when he said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Another thing it is is it's your kindred, your relatives. You might hear something like the house of Queen Elizabeth, you know, and then you have Prince Charles and Prince William and all the, you know, those are her relatives, and that's her house. The house of King Henry VIII would be all the relatives associated with him. And so that's pertaining to a house. The other thing he's talking about is that it's going to lay desolate. And desolate means to be not inhabited. Not inhabited. And one of the other things I like about Webster's definition of desolate is it says about showing the effects of being abandoned. Did you ever see an abandoned house? Yeah, and it looks like it. It's desolate. You say, well, that house looks desolate. Meaning that the shutters are, you know, weathered and ripped down and the yard's not taken care of and the trees aren't trimmed and the porch has squeaky boards to it and it's desolate. It shows the effect that it's abandoned, that it's not inhabited. It reflects it. It absolutely, I'm getting to something here. It absolutely shows that this house is not being inhabited. It's absolutely abandoned and neglected. And Jesus said, your house is going to be laid desolate, be made desolate. And then it's interesting what his next phrase was. You're going to see me no more. You're not going to see me henceforth. He says, your house is going to be abandoned. You're not going to see me. Interesting relationship there. It wasn't a new topic. It was a continuation of the same topic. Your house is going to be abandoned because you're not going to see me. The one who came in and taught you my house is to be a house of prayer. The one who came in and healed the blind and the cripple in this house. He said, you're not going to see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Psalm 118. Which is where that phrase comes from. And this is a psalm of absolute praise and thanksgiving to God for being a savior, for being a deliverer, for being our help, for being our healer, for the goodness of God. For the absolute blessing he gives us. And I'll just pick it up at verse 14. Although interestingly in verse 3 it says, let the house of Aaron, but relating to the priest. But I'll pick it up at verse 14 where it says, the Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. A verse that Wayne Wheeler talks about. God gave him that one. He had been ill. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Hallelujah. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Here's a familiar verse used in the New Testament. The stone which the builders rejected is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, It is marvelous in our eyes. Here's a nice song. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee. Send now prosperity. Verse 26. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. He said, you're not going to see me again. Your house is going to be blessed until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And he goes on to say, we're blessing you out of the house of the Lord. But instead, they're kicking him out of the house of the Lord. They're not going to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're going to say, crucify him. Crucify him. We've got no king but Caesar. Crucify this one. And he's saying, hey, I'm leaving. You're not going to see me anymore until you say, blessed, he's the one. He's the one that's coming in the name of the Lord. He's the one who's our Savior. He's the one who's our help. Praise the Lord. The Lord has come. This is the day the Lord has made. Just like they were doing it back in verse chapter 21 when he first came into Jerusalem. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And he's saying, if you don't recognize me, if you're not saying, until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, until you praise him out of his temple, out of his house, out of the house of the Lord. That verse 26, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Until that happens, you're not going to see me anymore. Your house shall be desolate. Desolate. And then the next phrase says, and Jesus went out. And just to make sure we got what happened, it says, and departed from the temple. Wow. Think about that. Jesus said, your house is going to be desolate. Because you're not going to see me anymore. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And then the disciples took him. And they said, and this is in Mark and Luke as well. And they said, look at this building. It's desolate. I asked earlier, have you ever seen a desolate house? An abandoned house. And it looks desolate. It's desolate. It shows the effects of abandonment. And they said, desolate. Look at the stone on this place. Look at how big this stone is. Look at how mighty this temple is. Look at how glorious the building. Look at the stained glass windows. Look at this cathedral. Look at how big this building is. We got big buildings. There's big buildings today. They buy big stadiums anymore and have church in them. Look at the stone. You could play football in this thing. It's big. Look how beautiful. Look at the marble. Oh, it's wonderful. Look at it, Jesus. Don't you? Desolate. How can this be desolate? And Jesus said, take note to what he says here. Because it becomes important. I'll be looking at more of Matthew here in a moment, but he said, you look, see the stone, see it. Yeah, see this temple. Take a look at it. there shall not be left one stone upon another. It's all going to be destroyed. And in 70 AD it did. Just a number of years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Rome came in and absolutely destroyed that temple. There's whatever little bit of it left around anymore. It's not there anymore. Like I said, you see the Wailing Wall and that kind of stuff, whatever artifacts are. Looks desolate, doesn't it? When you see whatever's left of the, you know, of the temple in Jerusalem. It looks absolutely desolate. It's not there. That's what Jesus said. This became significant. Let me turn to Matthew chapter 26. Because of all the things that Jesus said and has done, Jesus got put on trial then by the high priest. Verse 57, Matthew 26, 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the councils, they sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet they found none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, now look, of all the false witnesses that came, they didn't have anything. And of all the things you could bear a false witness about them in, look what it was. And they said, this fellow said, I'm able to destroy this, the temple of God, and to build it in 3 days. I'll get that to that in a moment. Notice what the temple's destruction. The temple's destruction is what they're accusing him of. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it with which these witnesses against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto them, him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. His proclamation. But see what the accusation was? And I'll get to that in a moment. But the same in Matthew 27. In Matthew 27, 33, it says, and when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days? Save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. It was the false witness against him that the temple would be destroyed. It would become desolate. And it's also how they reviled him. Of all the things, it's that. Which takes me to John chapter 2. And I want to read this and bring this to a close. John chapter 2. Because this is where he said that. John 2:13 says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then saith the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he said unto them, that he had said this unto them, Destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And now he's saying, it's desolate. This temple is going to be destroyed. And they're saying, look at it. Look at the marble. Look at how big these stones are. And he's saying, it's going to be destroyed. It's going to be desolate. But it says, after he was risen, they remembered what he said. That he spoke of his body, his temple, that wouldn't be desolate. It would rise again. And they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. And that's what I want to close with. They believed the scripture and that which Jesus had said. Let me say that again. They believed the scripture. They believed the word of God. And they believed what Jesus had taught. And if he taught saying, you serpents, you generation of vipers, how are you going to escape the damnation of hell? Then he's pointing out that there's a damnation of hell that you better escape. But there's an answer for you. You can say, blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord. Tell me his name again. Tell me his name again. Echo that sweet refrain. From him who is love, in love, brought his glory from above. And his name is Jesus. Blessed is Jesus who has come in the name of the Lord. And we'll believe the scripture that points us to Jesus. We'll believe the Jesus who they said, are you the Christ, the Son of God? You better know that I'm the Son of Man who's going to be coming in great glory. You better believe on me. Because if you don't, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're not going to see me anymore. Your house is going to lay desolate, and I'm going to go out from it and depart from the house of God. And I'm saying all that to say this. There's a lot of churches that are big stone and look beautiful, but sad to say, they don't say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They don't believe the scripture anymore. They don't teach what Jesus has taught. They may use his name, but it's not his teachings. He sends their word, but they stone them. They persecute those. And Jesus is saying, you're not going to see me anymore. And he's departing. He's departing. And I'll talk about this great nation in closing. Because I want to pray for the war over in Europe too, in closing. But this great nation, which was founded for the purpose of having freedom to worship God and to proclaim the name of Jesus. And as I heard a great preacher preach a great message saying, we never did it. We never kept that covenant. But, oh, how we're turning away. Oh, how we're calling God's people who proclaim God's word haters. Not believing the scripture, but saying, oh, they're haters and they're bigots. Not saying they're bringing salvation, but they're bringing strife and division. There's nothing to it. If you realize, everybody's worshiping God. And Jesus is saying, you're not going to see me anymore. And as we're going to find in this nation, just as they found out then, and he went out of the temple and he departed from them. We need Jesus. We need to proclaim Jesus. We need to know that Jesus has come from God. There's no other hope. There's no other help. There's no other joy. There's no other peace. There's no other name by wherewith we must be saved. That name, tell me his name again. Jesus. Tell me his name again. Jesus. 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 And if we receive that word and receive that name and say it's Jesus, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And our praise goes forth from this house to give him glory. Oh, precious, precious Jesus. Precious Jesus. Then we'll be the house of God. We'll be the house of the Lord. Because Jesus Christ is Lord.